This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 27th of June, 2025. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 27th of June, 2025. Reading with me today is Margaret Boyden.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Keith Vincent, standing in for John Parker. And the main headlines this week: charity fears closure without urgent funding, cathedral peregrines are parents, and Millennium Egg Award is cracking recognition. So, Margaret, may we have the story behind the first headline, please?
Charity fears closure without urgent funding. A major Winchester learning disability charity has warned it is at risk of closure without urgent funding. Winchester Gold, which supports adults, has taken steps to cut costs, but says further action will be needed without additional support. It has a £45,000 shortfall for 24-25, around 30%, with income of £108,000 and expenditure of £153,000. Ben Hogbin, who became CEO in September 2024, said, "Winchester Gold has always been about empowering adults with learning disabilities by building confidence, creating connections, recognising strengths, promoting well-being and supporting their goals for the future. That mission is more relevant than ever. We've worked hard to reduce costs and protect frontline services. But without urgent funding support, Winchester Gold is at risk of closure." In response to growing financial pressures, the charity has already reduced staff hours, streamlined back office operations, and prioritised frontline delivery. It is also focusing on partnerships with other learning disability providers to maximise impact for its members. The charity is currently seeking short-term funding through trusts, foundations, corporate supporters and community fundraising, while encouraging individual giving from those who value its work. Mr. Hogbin said, "Our members rely on us for vital social connection, confidence building and advocacy. My hope is that this meeting will lead to a clear plan to secure the charity's future and safeguard the support our community depends on. A special meeting of trustees, staff and key stakeholders will take place on Wednesday, June the 25th at St. Peter's Church, Drury Street, to assess the charity's future financial position and explore options. The meeting was postponed from June the 10th to ensure all decision makers could attend and that update financial information would be available." Mr. Hogbin said the meeting aims to produce a plan that will secure the future of the charity and protect the vital support it provides to adults with learning disabilities. Winchester Gold will be launching GoMe, a 12-week in-person program designed to help adults with learning disabilities build confidence, identify their strengths and set personal goals.
Cathedral peregrines are parents. After a suspenseful few months, Winchester's peregrine falcons have become parents, but is unclear where. In April, a blank year was forecasted for peregrines, Mel and William, after seeing little activity at their usual nest at the cathedral. However, it seems they may have relocated to welcome three chicks, with sightings on Southgate Street around St. Thomas's Church. Due to herbicides, peregrines were on the brink of extinction in the 1960s, but are now protected by the Wildlife and Countryside Act under Schedule 1 listed species. Their numbers are increasing. Peregrine falcons are large birds of prey and easy to spot, with broad pointed wings and a striped blue-grey colouring. And there's a live camera online at winchestercathedral.org.uk/peregrines. And there are two photographs accompany this article with the peregrine's just perched on one of the corbels on the top of the cathedral. And we've had them for a number of years now. Hopefully that'll continue.
Millennium Egg Award is cracking recognition. Winchester's longest-running family business has been recognised this year's Business Excellence Awards. Ian Still accepted the big prize from awards, the Millennium Egg, on Thursday, June the 19th at the Pavilion at Winchester Cathedral. Speaking in front of the assembled guests, he said, "It is not often I am lost for words, but this evening I am both honoured and humbled. I have to say that there are so many people in Winchester who do so much for this wonderful city. My family, the Steele family, have been serving this city and the surrounding Hampshire district since the 1860s, so 165 years of family business. My grandfather, Stanley Steele, twice mayor of Winchester in the 60s and 70s, instilled in me and my father, Richard Steele, that we had the privilege and honour to serve this city with what we do and help the bereaved. Therefore, it was imperative that we give something back, and hence began a history of the Steele family for charitable work locally. I am immensely proud of all the various charities I work with and enjoy every element of it. I have to say that I can't do that without the wholehearted support of my wife, Lisa, who has been by my side for 35 of the last 40 years. She knows that I'm doing charitable stuff when I just turn and say, 'But I'm just answering this email,' and how life goes behind the scenes occasionally. I would also like to thank Mark and Ali Hickson. Without them, I couldn't do the balance of charitable work and work that I do. They are my backbone at Stills. They do that operations all stuff, so I can be that face that goes out. So thank you so much for everything that you do for us. Everybody in this room, whether you are nominees or winners, thank you for everything that you do for Winchester. It is a place that we are incredibly proud of, that we can call home. Thank you." Other big winners on the night were RJM International, which won the Business of the Year, as well as the Large Business category. Winchester Poetry Festival won the Creative and Cultural Award, while Andrew Loretto won the New City Centre Champion Award. The awards are organised in partnership by the Chronicle, Hampshire Chamber of Commerce and BID, and were open to businesses within the district, Winchester district. And there is a lovely picture of Ian Still smiling and receiving his award from Laura Taylor, the Chief Executive for Winchester City Council.
Thank you. That concludes the headlines. Now we continue with the death announcements, then Christian comment, letters to the editor, Chronicle comment, first person, and Belgarum. So we start with the death announcements. Atterton, Michael George Atterton, on the 9th of June, aged 95. Bramley, Anne Bramley, after a short illness. Chapman, Gillian Chapman, peacefully at home on the 8th of June, aged 84. Dolbear, John Dolbear, died peacefully at Lymington Hospital, aged 93. Dragon, Alan George Dragon, died at Basingstoke Hospital on the 8th of June, aged 79. Gibson, Leslie Gibson, née Houghton, died on the 5th of June, aged 79. Gomer, Natalie Vera Gomer, died on the 7th of June at Winchester Hospice, aged 88. Hansford, Patricia Georgina Hansford, died at St Giles View Care Home, aged 98. Harris, Alan Harris, died at Westholm Care Home on the 8th of June. Moss, Brian Moss, died peacefully at home in Shawford on the 17th of June, aged 91. Short, Doris June Short, died peacefully at Abbots Barton Care Home, aged 93. Smith, Mike Smith, died peacefully at home on the 12th of June, aged 79, and Sweet, the Reverend Reginald Sweet, former Master of St. Cross, died on the 4th of June, aged 89. And now we have a Christian comment, please, Margaret.
What we do with the state of the world. We are living in perilous times. As I am writing this, ballistic missiles are falling in Iran and Israel. Ukraine is still under Russian attack. Gaza is in ruins. There are riots in America. Illegal immigration in this country and throughout Europe is threatening social cohesion, and there are no easy answers to any of these. In times like this, it's easy to succumb to despair. We must admit, whether it's world affairs, our own personal problems, or illness, there are times when life doesn't seem to make any sense. I have sometimes said to myself and others that it isn't what is happening that is necessarily the issue, it is what we do with it. Throughout life, for all of us, there are going to be many why questions. Why is this happening? A question that I find more helpful is who? Who can I turn to when life just gets too much? Personally, I place my sadness, fear, pain, or a broken heart into the hands of a loving God. I trust him, and he understands and cares. I know this as Jesus has walked this earthly path of both joy and suffering that we do each day. Sometimes people turn from God or even blame him for the bad things we go through or see in the world. It's actually at this time that, rather than turning away, we need to hold on to the love and certainty he can bring. There is a much bigger picture than the physical one that we see around us. When we are confused and nothing seems to make sense, take a moment to read Psalm 23. Allow the spirit of peace to overcome the fear and anxiety of this life. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." And this has been written by the Reverend Brian Taphouse of Romsey Abbey.
Thank you. Now we move on to letters to the editor. So the first one is about the Leisure Centre, and it's written by Rose Burns, Friends of River Park. Winchester City Council has announced at short notice a public consultation about the River Park Leisure Centre site before the planning inspector's decision about the draft local plan has been reached. While we absolutely welcome the involvement of the public in considering the next steps for the site, this consultation is premature. WCC says it seeks an investment partner to develop the site, echoing the fruitless commercial arrangement with the University of Southampton, rather than discussing with local stakeholders a collaborative vision for this public recreational space so close to the city centre. The process looks once again like a property transaction prospectus, with no parameters set for how assessments and decisions will ultimately be made. Friends of River Park's submission to the planning inspector in regard to the new policy W10 concerned no evidence showing the need for a change of use from the existing public recreational use, class F2, to learning and non-residential institutions, class F1. Land held on trust for public recreation under the terms of the 1902 sale. No account taken of the legal constraints inherent in the transfer of the land from public to private ownership. No assessment of the effect of development on the adjacent River Itchen, of the proximity to the South Downs National Park and Winnall Nature Reserve, and of the adjoining historic landmarks or the Hyde Conservation Area. No up-to-date flood risk assessment for this Zone 3 high-risk site upstream of the city centre. No recognition of the shortfall of public open space in the centre of Winchester. Conflict with the Council's Climate Emergency Action Plan and associated plan policies and the NPPF, accessibility, extra traffic and serious parking difficulties. 4 years into the 5-year option period granted to the University of Southampton, they abruptly withdrew. The building is unsafe, vandalised, and increasingly dilapidated. It costs the taxpayer tens of thousands of pounds a year to ensure, keep secure, and maintain. WCC has budgeted for its demolition. This should take place without delay. The proposed timeline provides for an exceptionally short period for interested parties to work up their realistic, costed, and appropriate plans for the site. We question whether this is a deliberate, somewhat disingenuous ploy on the part of WCC to try to influence the decision of the planning inspector. St Bede's School proposes a move of the school to the site. However, educational use was flatly refused by the vendor of the land, William Barrow Simmons, soon after the sale in 1902. It would also fall foul of the planning constraints listed above. Is this timed to influence the inspector's decision regarding the change of use from F2 to F1? And that's Rose Burns, Friends of River Park, Hyde, Winchester.
This is a letter from Robert Hubbard, Oak Tree Row. I refer to the story of residents' uproar over the oak tree off Cannon Street, chronicled June the 12th. The felling of any mature deciduous tree is going to be an emotive subject, raising hackles, whether done legally or illegally, as was the case with the felling of the Sycamore Gap tree along Hadrian's Wall in Northumberland. It is a nonsense to suggest that an oak tree grows like a beanstalk. They take up to 400 years to grow and mature. Where the specimen in question is situated is in the city centre, which of course is in a hollow between surrounding trees and is unlikely to be blown down. Bear in mind also, a young tree in good condition is less likely to be blown down than an old tree that could be racked with disease and have fungal rot. The tree should definitely be kept as an amenity in a densely built up district in the centre and for the part it plays in capturing carbon dioxide, and that's from Robert Hubbard of Spitfire End, Winchester.
And this letter from Chris Blackman, headed Car Parking. The June the 19th letter in the Chronicle from Adam Wyman raises the important issue of reduced car parking for station users, which will be the result if the WCC have their way with the station approach development project. I've previously asked Martin Todd directly what the driving instigation is for this scheme. While he has now stopped answering any of my letters, he did initially tell me that it came from a City Council workshop called 24 Hours to Save Winchester back in 2009. In other words, it was something dreamed up by councillors who were looking for something to do. There is no identified or defined need for this project, and it does not have overwhelming support from the electorate. Martin Todd claims there were more than 1,000 positive responses to the consultation process. That represents 0.78% of the population of Winchester, so if I'm kind, I would say Martin Todd is being disingenuous to suggest that less than 1% of the population in support was overwhelming support. Additionally, the consultation process was, as usual, carefully engineered and contrived to ensure that nobody could actually say no to the project. That wasn't a question offered. You could tick support or otherwise to the statement high quality design and positive place making, whatever that means. But who would not support those statements? That's considered positive support. So the consultation process was a farce and it still got less than 1% support. In my letter to Councillor Todd, I pointed out that the City Council had declared a climate emergency in 2019. And as the construction industry generates 11% of all CO2 emissions, why is the Council pushing ahead with this project, which is not essential? Indeed, I asked what the Council is doing differently now that a climate emergency has been declared. No reply was forthcoming. There was a time many years ago now, sadly, when councils strived to deliver good value for money services to their council taxpayers, to not only fix the potholes and uneven pavements, but ensure they were regularly swept clean and de-weeded. They provided library services and decent public lavatories. The role of local government should not be to dream up grand designs, spending our money on consultants and architects. Some of the most attractive cities in the country have largely been allowed to regenerate organically in a small-scale, piecemeal way, with each new build complementing the existing. The ugliest are those where grand schemes have placed oversized glass and concrete monstrosities next to buildings with established character and local identity. We don't need more offices and we don't need more coffee shops. So come on, Winchester, tell your council to scrap this expensive vanity project now. And that's letters from Chris Blackman, Cheriton Road, Winchester.
And this is a letter from Richard Spalding, praise for peace pole installation. Thank you for highlighting the possibility of a peace pole being installed in Abbey Gardens, Chronicle, 19th of June. The article ended, the next step is for Rotary to come up with a firm proposal. However, this was actually formally made to the town forum on June the 12th, seeking approval to install a peace pole in the Sir Optimist's garden at the back of Abbey House. All past mayors and the Sir Optimists are also in support of this location. The benefits were also explained, such as being a focus for peace for all nationalities and ages, particularly youngsters. The town forum delegated the next steps to the Open Spaces Group, who are now considering it. We are hopeful that this will be approved very soon, ahead of the requested target date of early August. This is the next annual International Mayors for Peace Day, of which Winchester is one of the 8,500 cities worldwide that regularly participate in this. There will be the usual commemoration in Abbey House and possibly in the gardens. This will also be shortly before the 80th anniversary of VJ Day on August the 15th, effectively the end of World War II. And this letter is from Richard Spalding, Captain RN retired, past president of Winchester Rotary, Loder Close, Kingsworthy. And there is a photo of him standing with the peace pole. On one side are the words, "May peace prevail on earth."
This letter is from Peter Innes. On June the 19th, the Chronicle reported the City Council agreement on the concept master plan for the station approach area. Yes, but what is this master plan? And by the way, however long has it taken to get this far? Why was a plan of the master plan not printed? This is a critical area for the city for many, with the train station and several roads and bus routes intersecting here. A transport interchange even. Please can the council set a principle of actually showing the rest of us what they've agreed upon on this subject, as on many others, instead of just giving out a stream of otherwise relatively meaningless words. And that letter's from Peter Innes, Nations Hill, Headbourne Worthy.
There's a letter from David Gosney, Unique Place. Five letters published in your paper over the last few months from a correspondent in Havant extolling the wonderful achievements of the government elected last July sent me to a gazetteer, since surely the writer couldn't be living in this country. Apparently Havant, Hampshire is a unique place name. Post-election, after a few months of making plans, we are ready with plans to hit the ground running, the new government, elected by less than one in five of the electorate, set about demolishing any foundations left after the Tories lost all sense of direction, maybe all sense, and to change metaphor, allowing the ship of state to drift rudderless towards the rocks, only appointing a competent pilot in the last minutes. Unfortunately, nearly everything from the new government is still only a vision or has had bad effects on the economy, in brackets, us. With unemployment rising, government borrowing on our behalf, rising interests on that borrowing rising, inflation and interest rates high, and with many of the government's proposals yet to work through to the economy, it can only get worse. Add to all these economic missteps the gradual encroachment on personal freedom and a volatile electorate, might conclude that the two historic main parties are busted flush and hoping, forlornly, that giving a so far untried party a try might work. We could end up with Lib Dems and Reform emerging as the largest parties at the next election, having to form a coalition in order for there to be a working government. Now there's a coalition to conjure with. David Gosney, Clayhill Close, Wharton Chase, Bishop's Wharton.
That concludes the letters. Now we've got editorial comment, which Margaret's going to read.
Right, and this is the crisis facing Winchester Gold. Our front page story reports on the financial crisis impacting one of Winchester's most high-profile charities. Winchester Gold is facing an uncertain future because of financial issues. A meeting was being held last night at St Peter's Church in Drury Street after the Chronicle went to press to discuss the future. The charity website outlines its role. Winchester Gold enables adults with learning disabilities to live life to the full with the choices and independence that they want. We promote self-development, friendship, self-confidence, creativity and learning. We try to share the experience, skills and talents of our members. We recognise that our members are experts through their lived experience of learning disabilities. It is difficult to overemphasize how important this charity is for hundreds of people across the district. Since the deep recession ushered in the age of austerity and deep cuts in government spending, charities such as Gold have stepped into the breach. A world without them would be horrifying. Clearly, something has gone badly wrong when such an important organisation that gives crucial support to so many is itself in need of assistance. It is important that we find out what has gone wrong so the root causes can be addressed. In the meantime, we give our wholehearted support to Winchester Gold and do what we can to help. Anyone seeking to offer help can contact the charity by email at info@winchestergold.org.uk or by phone at 01962 600281.
Thank you. Now we have first person written by George Hayter, The Joys of Floral Design. I wasn't expecting much when I went to a meeting of the gardening club. I'm not an expert. My gardening consists of little more than mowing the lawn and hacking back the jungle. About the only plants I can name are dandelion and buttercup. So I'm not best qualified to participate in discussions about planting a Hyacinthus orientalis or nurturing an Allium stipitatum. However, our village gardening club has one feature which magnetically attracts even horticulturalists of my standard. It offers glasses of wine at reasonable prices, served in the half hour before the meetings start. Thus refreshed, I took my seat for the evening's main attraction, which was to be a talk lasting an hour or so. The speaker was a lady from Hampshire Floral Design Firm. Instead of standing alongside the usual overhead projector photo screen, she stood behind a table. On the table was a large vase, and on the floor beside her were, as I recall, several pots of flowers and other vegetation. This guest speaker's performance made a profound impression on me, though I cannot remember much of what she said. What I well remember is what she was doing at the same time as talking. She selected long-stemmed flowers and long-stemmed foliage and one by one placed them in her substantial vase. Gradually, a flamboyant flower arrangement about 2 feet high filled the air above the vase. As the speaker continued to add to her impressive floral creation, we in the audience could see less and less of her. She maintained a running commentary as she plucked more handfuls of cuttings from the pots and spread them on the table. Then she would select a particular cutting suited to a particular role in the emerging masterpiece, and after trimming its stalk to the right length, and perhaps removing side leaves, she would deftly place it in position in the arrangement. With the talk nearing its end, the arrangement had become a harmonious, rounded delight. Finally, a few much taller, thin stems were slotted in, so they radiated from the centre. These soaring peripheral elements transformed her tight floral creation into a sensational explosion of colour and shape. Wow, I thought to myself, maybe I could do that. A few days later, I tried. I'd always assumed that our meagre garden had too few flowers to fill a vase, but I soon collected a row of 20 or more stems, some foliage, some topped by a flower or flowers. During her demo at the garden club, the speaker had advised placing a spiky hedgehog anchor inside the vase to stop stems moving from where you position them. I chose her cheaper option of putting chicken wire there instead, and it worked. Tended to go rusty. Then, starting with a rough idea of the arrangement shape that I wanted, I began plonking the stems in as she had. Once the first few stems were placed, construction became a repetition of choosing a stem to fill each space, trimming it to fit, and then placing it. Weeks later, I was lucky enough to help arrange the Christmas flowers in the parish church, and I enjoyed that. Another satisfying experience was arranging a vase for a party at home. I overheard a guest proclaiming my arrangement beautiful. I see flower arranging as the purest and most aesthetic of all the arts. It's solely about beauty, with none of the message or meaning of literature and the visual arts, none of the onomatopoeia or dance function of music, and none of the practicality requirements of architecture. When I arranged flowers in the church, I was the only man. In modern times, women are increasingly enjoying activities traditionally dominated by males. So perhaps it's time for more males to try to match up to the female talent for mastering floral design. And that was by George Hayter. And now Margaret has a couple of items from Belgarum, I think.
Right. This is an alternative look at the news. And the first item is Choir Celebrates Centenary. Winchester Music Club celebrated its centenary with the return of composer Bob Chilcott. Bob conducted the Winchester Philharmonic Choir Come and Sing workshop on June the 14th, reprising his involvement from their 75th anniversary. The event saw the choir, under Bob's baton, rendering the Canticles of Light, a piece he composed and conducted for the choir's 75th anniversary. A little jazz mass was also performed. Bob's lifelong dedication to choral music has seen him direct choirs in more than 30 countries. Since 1997, he has worked as a full-time composer and conductor. To mark the end of the workshop, the choir delivered a run-through performance of both compositions, followed by a centenary celebration reception with champagne and canapés. The Winchester Philharmonic's choir celebrations are far from over. Rehearsals for their next major performance, Bach's B minor Mass, will begin on September the 2nd. And there is a picture of Bob Chilcott conducting the choir. There's a lot of them as well. Anyway, the next item is Care Home Resident Takes the Helm. A care home resident took the helm during a special boat trip. The outing organised by the Solent Dolphin Charity saw residents from Shawford Springs Care Home in Winchester set sail from Hythe Marina and cruise the Southampton coastline on a sunny Sunday morning. Residents enjoyed close-up views of cruise ships and the city from the water, with one resident, Vernon, given the opportunity to captain the boat. Cassie Munnock, general manager of Shawford Springs, said, "Our residents have really enjoyed their day out on the boat trip. Trips out in the home's minibus are a regular event for the residents, and we always ask for ideas on where they would best like to go." And there's a picture of Vernon taking the wheel on this boat, and he looks really happy.
And then we move on to announcements, and we start with What's On. three items to cover. Winchester Cathedral, they start a season of organ festivals, organ playing, and on Sunday the 6th of July between 2:30 and 3:30, Oliver Morell will be playing the 19th century renowned Father Willis organ. If you want more details, you can go phone the ticket office on 01962 857 200. That's 01962 857 200. On Saturday the 12th of July, Wanston Fete takes place in the grounds of the Old House at Wanston, and that's between 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. Entry is £2 on the gate, and there is free parking adjacent to the church. There's a charity colour run on Saturday, August the 2nd, in Harewood Forest, Andover. It's a fun run in support of Hampshire Hospitals Charity. Participants will start the run wearing a white t-shirt, and they will pass through multiple stations where they will be covered in eco-friendly coloured powder paint. To join the run or support the charity, you can visit the Hampshire Hospitals Charity website. The lighting up time ends Friday the 27th of June at 4:52 a.m. and begins at 9:24 p.m. On Wednesday the 2nd of July, it ends at 4:55 a.m. and begins at 9:23 p.m. And if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please contact on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. And this number is also found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. And now we continue with further items of general news. Margaret.
Rebrand for iconic high street shop. A rebrand of what is perhaps the most iconic shop on Winchester High Street will see its name change. Although blink and you might miss the new face of WH Smith. TG Jones is the new name decided on by hobbycraft owner Modella Capital, which bought all of the chain's high street shops in a £76 million deal. A planning application has been submitted to the City Council for permission to make the shopfront alterations. The new owner opted for the conservative option, not only in its name, which mirrors the original stationery giant, but also in the lettering. The store's new name will look almost exactly the same as the current WH Smith, which has been familiar to residents for around a century. Images included in a planning application to choose the site's signage show a retention of the blue panelling as well as the post office lettering, which is currently in view. WH Smith travel outlets, including stores in train stations and airports, are not included in the sale. In recent years, the travel division, which also includes hospital stores, has been the company's main focus, and it will not be receiving any changes. A spokesman for Modella Capital clarified the meaning of the new name with the Financial Times. The TG Jones brand is not a reference to any individual. It's obviously based on another familiar surname, like WH Smith, that will resonate with people across the UK, and we wanted to keep that sense of a family business. WH Smith's chief executive, Carl Cowling, said in a statement, "As we continue to deliver on our strategic ambition to become the leading global travel retailer, this is a pivotal moment for WH Smith, as we become a business exclusively focused on travel. As our travel business has grown, our UK high street business has become a much smaller part of the WH Smith group. High Street is a good business. It is profitable and cash generative with an experienced and high-performing management team. However, given our rapid international growth, now is the right time for a new owner to take the High Street business forward and for the WH Smith leadership team to focus exclusively on our travel business. I wish the High Street team every success."
leader's response over pub debacle. Martin Todd, the leader of Winchester City Council, has denied allegations that he's failed to reveal the business case for the controversial purchase of a city centre pub. Critics have slated the council over its six-figure deal for the Corner House pub in 2020, questioning whether there was any business case for the deal. The council intends to convert the pub into flats on the corner of North Walls and Parchment Street, but the building is still empty 5 years on. Critic Quentin Brooke, speaking at a recent cabinet, said, "The Corner House debacle stems from a rushed decision to spend £0.5 million of public funds without a business case, which was also approved by the entire cabinet without challenge." But Councillor Todd countered the claim. "Mr. Brooke is right to recall the commitment I made at Scrutiny Committee in February to provide more detail how the City Council decision to buy the Corner House was made. He didn't mention that I came back to the committee with those details around 12 minutes later. The video is publicly available, as are the details of how the original cabinet decision was taken. The exempt appendix that was originally discussed in private session is now also available on the council's website." Councillor Todd said the Corner House purchase was part of a decision to spend up to £3 million to buy around three properties for potential redevelopment and four market purchases for reuse as council homes. It wasn't carte blanche, and officers were required to demonstrate that the numbers added up. "Although I wasn't directly involved in the decision at the time, I've asked to see the historic financial viability assessments that were used, and based on the figures I've seen, the numbers for the Corner House did add up. I'm more than happy for those figures to be made public." He said the Corner House plan had been on track, showing robust financial viability until the Liz Truss premiership in 2022, when the economy crashed and building cost and interest rates shot through the roof. The Corner House issue will return to the spotlight in July, with a report due at Cabinet on July the 15th.
Charity's affordable foot care for OAPs. Affordable foot care clinics are helping older people stay mobile and independent. Age Concern Hampshire is running the clinics for residents aged 50 and over, offering toenail cutting and foot health checks by qualified practitioners. Una Davey, head of commercial at Age Concern Hampshire, said, "Our foot care clinics provide a safe, professional and affordable service for older people who might otherwise go without vital foot care. With living expenses rising, we are committed to making essential foot care as affordable and accessible as possible. The clinics are designed to be affordable and accessible. They operate every 6 weeks and are delivered by professionally trained foot health practitioners who have undergone DBS checks. The service aims to identify issues early and provide advice on when to seek specialist support. Nearly 30% of older people struggle to afford basic expenses, including healthcare. Many delay or skip foot care appointments due to financial pressures. Age Concern Hampshire currently operates 61 clinics across 15 venues in the county. To book an appointment or find out more, visit Age Concern Hampshire's website or call 01962 868 545. That's 01962 868 545.
Chamber choir to perform at a local church. A chamber choir will be singing a variety of music at its local village fete. Barton Stacey Chamber Choir, an adult choir, has performed for its village and across Hampshire, featuring a diverse range of singers and music since 2011. It's made up of singers from Barton Stacey and surrounding villages, meeting every Monday in the local church. Its next performance will be at Barton Stacey Church Fete on Saturday, July the 5th. singing a varied selection of music ranging from sacred Renaissance to folk and pop. The choir has a mixed voice and has welcomed new members in the past few years, as well as urging more people to try out. The choir is directed by Kate Sarnicki, who has 30 years of experience as a semi-professional classical soloist and choral conductor.
Genealogist uncovers restaurant's history. A genealogist has revealed a part of the history of an Oxford restaurant. Paul McNeil delved into the history of Polpo Negro in Broad Street after he noticed a carving in the wall while dining there. Paul said, "I was sitting here with my wife, we love coming here, and we were watching the world go by. I saw the carving out of the corner of my eye. I see dead people everywhere, so I was just itching to find the history." Paul's investigation found that the building dates back to just before the Battle of Agincourt in 1415, with the building originally a pub called the Angel. The building was then renamed to the George following the English victory against the French at Agincourt. Paul said, "You can imagine that a soldier who was in the battle might come in and have a drink here." Further investigations show that the inn burnt down in 1439 before being rebuilt in 1460. It changed hands several times before being destroyed in the Great Fire of Oxford in 1689 and rebuilt. The carvings that Paul spotted also included several initials, which he traced belonged to members of the Oxford Independent Friendly Society, which used the building as its headquarters following its founding in 1871, when the site was the George Hotel. Paul explained that the society acted as something of a forerunner to other local mutual aid groups, collecting money which could then be used to pay off medical bills or funerals. The initials which Paul found are believed to belong to members of the society, with the name of James Burby Lowe, the landlord of the George Hotel during the 1870s, represented at the top of the carving. Paul believes that the other individuals were represented in the carving are William Peascod, a painter who moved to Oxford and whose brother George was involved in the Oxford Independent Friendly Society, John Flood Chapman, and Alfred T. Williams. Also represented in the carving is John Huggins, who testified in the famous Tichborne Claimant case. Sam Fawcett, executive chef for Polpo Negro, said, "We always thought someone would come in and ask about the carving. Downstairs you can see all the brick walls and everything. Oxford is that sort of town. You cannot do anything with any of the houses without planning permission." Paul's findings are nice because people come in here and we can now give people names. You never know what you are going to find. And there's a picture of Paul and Sam with the carving.
Fire-damaged vintage bus restoration begins. A restoration effort has been started to save a bus that was wrecked in a fire in Hampshire. In December 2023, a fire at Penton Musey severely damaged the Friends of King Alfred Bus's 1950 Leyland Olympic bus, which had been restored and relaunched in 2012, but thankfully not destroyed. Since the incident, the bus, identified by its registration number JAA708, has been moved to the Scottish Bus Museum in Fife, Scotland, where restoration has begun under the supervision of vehicle specialist Andrew Crockett. The vehicle had been moved around in recent months after it was extracted from the burnt building and taken to the Friends of King Alfred Bus's workshop in Winchester for initial inspection and review in March last year. The bus is expected to be fully restored by 2028 as part of the three-year restoration project. Friends of King Alfred Bus's trustees made the commitment to restore the bus in November 2024, and a budget of up to £500,000 was agreed upon. The aim of the project is to see the bus once again touring the streets of Winchester. In December 2024, the trustees managed to purchase an abandoned old Leyland Royal Tiger chassis with mechanical equipment identical to the Olympic bus. The body was removed in May, revealing a chassis in excellent condition. In January, Andrew Crockett was officially appointed to lead and execute the restoration project in Scotland. And by February, private funding commitments of more than £250,000 allowed the restoration to begin before the public fundraising campaign. Friends of King Alfred Buses gained access in March to a complete set of original blueprints from the NCW factory in Birmingham, providing a vital boost to the restoration task. These documents, provided by the Bus Archive, thoroughly outlined the Olympics construction and have proved invaluable for the work underway. The fundraising campaign for restoring JAA 708 formally launched on May the 31st at the Friends of King Alfred Buses 40th birthday celebration in Winchester. Along with the restoration work underway, the Friends of King Alfred Buses heritage community is preparing displays for upcoming events throughout 2025 and 2026. Their Heritage Open Days running day is planned for Sunday, September the 14th, and the New Year running day will be on Thursday, January the 4th, and the original King Alfred running day is planned for May the 4th. And this article is accompanied by two photographs, one showing the burnt out remnants of the bus, although substantially upright and whole, it's severely damaged by the fire. But there's a picture of it in its former glory with the King Alfred emblem on the side and its registration number clearly visible with Winchester on the destination plate.
Police oust travellers from site. Police have used enforcement powers to oust travellers from a park and ride site near Winchester. Officers in Winchester have been working with partners at Winchester City Council in response to an unauthorised encampment near Compton. The site is often used by travellers who are thought to have earlier camped for a couple of days at Oram's Arbour in Winchester City Centre. Under Section 61 of the Criminal Justice and Public Order Act 1994, police have the power to direct individuals to leave the land and remove any vehicles or property they have with them. Failure to comply is a criminal offence. These powers can be considered when communities are deprived of local amenities or significant impact on the environment. There is local disruption to the economy. There is other significant disruption to the local community or environment, or there is a danger to life where there is a need to take preventative action. Following a review of the circumstances surrounding the encampment, police utilised these powers. The group have now left the area. It is unclear whether these are the travellers now at the recreation ground in Chandler's Ford.
Champions of our rare chalk streams. A campaign has been launched to give rivers the same legal rights as people to give them greater protection. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust held an open forum on Wednesday, June the 18th, to discuss the legal rights and protection of Hampshire's rivers. Held at Winchester Quaker Meeting House, Colebrook Street, the Trust welcomed councillors and residents to share their views. In partnership with various Winchester City councillors, the Trust is developing the idea inspired by the River Rights Movement, which aims to protect local rivers by granting them legal personhood. Lorna Selby, Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust policy and advocacy leader, leading the Save Our Chalk Streams campaign, said, "We want to be able to cover as many council areas with these rights of the river motions so that we can protect the catchments as the rivers flow through the county. In Winchester, it's important because we have so many significant chalk streams that are so rare. We're particularly focusing on the Itchen and the Meon, but it does cover any chalk stream or tributaries within the area. The Universal Declaration of River Rights include right to flow, right to be free from pollution, right to be fed by sustainable aquifers, and right to native biodiversity. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust aims to implement as many of these rights in their proposed motion as possible. Suzanne White, City Councillor for Central Meon Valley Ward, said, "It's like a different way of thinking about things, really. There isn't one chalk stream that's in good overall health. The motion will send a clear message to people to protect them." The rivers Itchen and the Meon are two of the few chalk streams to exist, with around 220 in the world and 85% in southern England. The Itchen also holds a strong legacy, primarily known for its historical use as a navigation route, facilitating trade and transport. Both rivers host distinct wildlife, like the southern chalk stream salmon and chalk stream crayfish, which are both rapidly declining. For more information, you can visit Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust site, and that will give you more information. And there's a delightful picture of Lorna Selby and Suzanne White smiling with their banner promoting "I'm championing chalk streams."
Secrets of Woman Who Travelled the World for Free. A Hampshire woman who travelled all over the world for free by swapping her home near the location of a celebrated film or held a talk to teach others how to do the same. Following a move out of London to the Surrey Hills, near where the iconic Christmas film The Holiday was filmed, Emily Allen decided to re-watch it and thought that home swapping was such a good idea she'd give it a go herself. She joined Home Exchange, the same company featured in the film, and has done 24 exchanges over 6 years of being on the site. Now living in West Meon, Emily has travelled solo and with her partner Chris to destinations such as Cyprus, the Netherlands, a chateau in the south of France, as well as a closer to home in Cornwall, with a trip to Monaco in July. Emily has saved thousands of pounds through home swapping, giving away 3 or 4 times a year, and not having paid for accommodation since they joined 6 years ago, noting that their trip to Monaco in July would likely have cost them £250 per night through Airbnb. Emily and her partner Chris note there are many wonderful things about Home Exchange. Both for them, it's the ability to give their two girls the sort of holidays they wouldn't be able to afford without swapping.
Coldplay star opens new music centre. Will Champion, drummer of Coldplay, visited Winchester last week to officiate the opening of a new state-of-the-art music facility. Peter Simmons College officially opened the Russell Music Centre on Friday, June the 19th, with the help of Hampshire-born star and former student. The opening event included an afternoon of performances ranging from student pianists, guitarists and singers. Sarah Russell, the first female principal of the college, gave a welcoming speech expressing her gratitude that the centre was named in her honour. She said, "This is a space for our students to learn and discover. I believe that music opens doors, nurtures confidence and builds communities. To know that this building will help inspire musicians now and into the future is humbling and deeply meaningful." Will Champion gave a speech after Sarah saying, "I'm really just so grateful to be here and happy to be back. Music has the power to change the world. It's one of Britain's greatest exports." And there's a picture of Will Champion standing beside two grand pianos, giving a speech to those attending the opening. Whether he played both or whether he just settled for the drums, he's not made clear in the photograph.
Civic chiefs approved plans for Swanmore Horse Field. The chairman of Winchester City Council's planning committee used her deciding vote to mitigate a change of use application. Caroline Sedgwick applied to change land at Mill Lane, Swanmore, from agricultural to equestrian. The application also covers the construction of a barn with stables, tack room, feed and hay store, and widening of the existing access. The plans are an amended version of an application that Mrs. Sedgwick submitted to South Downs National Park Authority in 2024, which was refused by Winchester City Council's Planning Committee. The amended application was permitted by the Planning Committee on Wednesday, June the 11th. Tony Phillips Monday and Richard Ward, both of Heath Road, objected to the plans. Mr. Ward said, "Although the plans have been slightly amended, it was a unanimous decision to throw this out last year. This has in no way detached from the fears of the local community. Equestrian activity can still take place on the land. The barn that is shown in the plans is the same as the one that was shown last year. It has not been changed at all. The reason why it was thrown out last year have not been addressed." Ms. Phillips Monday stated her fears that the site would become home to a commercial business, saying that horse riding lessons are already taking place there.
Tributes paid to Mike, who died in a cycling accident. A family has paid tribute to Mike Garner, 71, who died on May the 15th after falling from his bike in East Meon. The incident happened on May the 11th in Oxenbourne Lane near the Harvesting Lane junction, and police are still investigating the circumstances. Mike, from Liss, leaves behind wife Carla, children Alex and Danny, and stepdaughter Alexa. Between them, they have four children and a fifth on the way. Mike was born in Stretford, Greater Manchester, in 1953. His parents moved their young family to Petersfield in 1958 to run Herne Farm Dairy alongside Mike's grandparents and aunt and uncle. Mike started at Church's College in 1964, with children Alex and Danny following his lead and attending too. During his career, Mike spent 53 years in the petrol retail industry, with his first site, Rails Lane Garage, opening in 1972 on Hayling Island. Alongside brother Tim, Mike owned up to 8 petrol filling stations during the height of Garner Group Holdings' success, which included the original north and southbound sites on the A3 at Liphook. The brothers have also won Forecourt Trader of the Year twice during their careers together. Behind the scenes of the industry, Mike first joined the Petrol Retail Association's Wet Stock Committee in 1993 and remained part of the Technical Committee, as it became known in 2010, until his passing. He also sat on the Jet Dealer Council from 1990 till 2008, including chairing the council for a number of years. The final two businesses were sold in September 2023, and since then Mike focused his time on a house renovation project with son Alex and a larger scale building project with Tim, while also spending as much time as possible with his grandchildren, with whom he shared an incredibly close bond. Physical health and fitness played a huge role in Mike's life. He's been a part of Petersfield Rugby Club since 1970, and during this time has captained the second 15 team on numerous occasions, and even played alongside son Alex in a veterans game. Mike trained at Body Conditioning in South Harting for over 22 years, and on his 70th birthday, he did 70 full chin-ups in 1 hour, totally unaided. He also regularly participated in time trial racing with local group A3CRG, and in addition to weekly social rides, cycled with the Petersfield Triathlon Club on a regular basis. A Just Giving page to raise money for Smile for Wessex, the charitable organisation supporting the Wessex Neurological Centre at Southampton General Hospital, where Mike was treated with such care and dedication after this incident, has been set up. And there's a photograph of a smiling Mike, looking very fit, healthy, obviously before the accident.
Music festival to return to Sunflower Field. A Hampshire Sunflower Field is set to host a charity music festival for the second time. Silkstead Sunflowers near Otterbourne will hold H&R Fest on Saturday, June the 28th. The festival, first hosted in 2023, is a celebration of culture, community and a shared passion for the arts. H&R Fest is a family-friendly event that aims to put on a show to raise money for amazing causes, while also supporting local artists from all genres to take the stage and perform. It is organised in memory of Hilary Venn and Ross Honeysett Graham, who both enjoyed music, entertainment and lively party. Silkstead Farm is run by Hilary's son Jeff Venn and his wife Kaylee, who is delighted to be holding the festival. She said, "We are proud and excited to be hosting an event that pays tribute to two wonderful people and for two great charities. Profits from the festival go to the charity Mountbatten House, which promotes and provides good care and support for people living with or affected by death, dying and bereavement, and looked after Hilary during her last days. Proceeds will also go towards Flag Bedford, a user-led social group for adults with a physical or learning disability and or sensory impairment, and their friends, carers and volunteers who live in the Bedford area, something Ross was instrumental in setting up. There will be food and drinks available from a bar, and there will also be entertainment such as a bouncy castle and games. Tickets can be booked on the H&R Fest website and are £25 for adults and £10 for children under 15. And there's a lovely picture of four people standing in a field holding large sunflowers in front of their faces.
Volunteering changed young mum's life. A young woman has revealed how a volunteer changed her life. June celebrates volunteers across the country, and Jess, who lives in Winchester and battles with ADHD, depression and social anxiety, has spoken about the impact Homestart Winchester volunteer Kay has had on her life. Jess said, "I was 17 when I found out I was pregnant. My boyfriend and I lived with my mum. When my daughter arrived, I didn't feel much, just numb. My midwife spent a lot of time with me as she was worried about my mental health and asked if she could refer me to Homestart. I wasn't that bothered and didn't feel like I needed help. Despite feeling indifferent and unsure of the help she needed, Jess was matched with volunteer Kay, who gently encouraged her to step out of her comfort zone and celebrate her achievements. As Jess's relationship worsened, Kay's support became invaluable. Jess said, "She's so instinctive. She knew what I needed even before I did. And when I broke up with my boyfriend, she helped me pick up the pieces." With Kay's support, Jess enrolled in college, completing level 3 in motorsports mechanics, and began her own mobile maintenance business. She also attended Homestart's nurturing program, which focuses on positive parenting and made lifelong friends. Jess said, "When I did something by myself, Kay celebrated it. Every time she praised me, I felt proud. Without realising it, she was building my confidence. Volunteering is my way of saying thank you. Homestart gave me the confidence to build the life I wanted." And there's a lovely photograph of Jess and Kay in front of some trees, smiling happily. And obviously that's a very good success story.
Mr. Darcy will be a tasty new addition. One of the city's restaurants has unveiled a new pizza for this year's food festival. Five Boroughs Pizza on Jury Street has created the Mr. Darcy for a Taste of Winchester, an event which will feature more than 25 events showcasing the local food and drink scene from June the 23rd to July the 6th. The announcement was made in a surprise delivery to the Chronicle's office on Upper Brook Street. One of the owners, Matt Sanger, dropped off the 22-inch version, which would retail for £30. Matt said, "We're excited to be offering something a bit cheeky. This is Mr. Darcy. It's going to be our taste of Winchester." The pizza fanatic said the pork and watercress toppings were from Hampshire suppliers. Pointing to the pork from Hoggett and Boar, he said, "We get as much as we can for the local area. were always looking for local suppliers. Matt was asked if there was any particular reason why he chose to make the Jane Austen link. He said, "We know that there are going to be tourists coming here from America and New York for the anniversary." Questioned if Colin Firth's famous Pride and Prejudice scene was an inspiration, he said, "No, but he could pop down and have a slice." According to the owner, one of three co-owners, the restaurant comes up with special limited time only pizzas throughout the year. The Mr. Darcy is the most recent, but they also just had one with clams, and they are making a chicken Caesar version for July the 14th, Independence Day in the US. Five Borough Pizza, named after New York's boroughs, came to Winchester last year, but has already made a name for itself. Matt said, "It's been great. It's a busy city. Busy market in the city. We are an independent, but people think we are really a brand because of how good things look. We are rapidly growing our reputation throughout the country. It's pretty exciting." The restaurant specializes in the pizza style from New York, big and flat, even though Matt lived in San Francisco for 3 years. All the owners spent time in the States, and it was their experience of its pizza culture that inspired the business. Matt said, "I lived in America for a bit and could not understand why we didn't have slices over here." Ahead of opening Five Boroughs, they all took a trip to market research, according to Matt, "and we all tried to sample as many pizzas as we could in 2 days. We also saw the New York Yankees play, as you do."
£222,000 games area. A house builder has invested £222,000 in a new multi-use games area for the community. Carla Holmes Southern helped fund the project through Section 106 contributions at its Kings Barton development in Winchester. The new facility, located close to Barton Farm Primary Academy, provides an outdoor space for sports and recreation, supporting both the school's physical education provision and wider community use. Fiona Creed, Sales and Marketing Director at Carla Holmes Southern, said, "We're thrilled to officially open the multi-use games area at Kings Barton, which we know will be a fantastic addition to the community. This £222,000 investment reflects Carla's long-term commitment to creating thriving, active neighbourhoods where amenities like this bring people together and enhance everyday life. The games area includes football goals, basketball posts, picnic benches and a well-equipped playground. Younger visitors can also enjoy swings, roundabouts, slides and a trail challenge course. An official opening ceremony was held in May with the Deputy Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Jamie Scott, in attendance. Students from Barton Farm Primary Academy joined the event and were among the first to try out the new facilities. Kings Barton is a growing community on the edge of Winchester, offering a mix of new homes, green spaces and landscaping.
Historic fete set to return. The historic St. Cross fete will again be held on the grounds of the medieval hospital of St. Cross in Winchester. The event, which first started in 1868, has only been cancelled due to world wars and the pandemic. The traditional attractions, including train rides, a fun fair and food stalls, will be in full swing on the 28th of June. There will also be entertainment from the Winchester Morris Men, the First Chandler's Ford Boys Brigade Band and a Punch and Judy show. This year, funds will be raised for Read Easy Winchester, Elizabeth Foundation, the Carroll Community Centre and the Church at St. Cross.
University Vice Chancellor receives King's Honour. The University of Winchester's Vice Chancellor has been appointed Commander of the Order of the British Empire, CBE. Professor Sarah Greer was included in the King's Birthday Honours List 2025 for services to higher education. Since her appointment as Vice-Chancellor in January 2022, Professor Greer has steered the university through a challenging period. The focus has remained on delivering high-quality education to help students realise their potential and make a meaningful contribution to society. As a result, the university has been nationally recognised for its successful graduates in fields including nursing, teaching, policing, business and the creative arts. Professor Greer said, "I was surprised and honoured to receive this award. It's a reflection of all the outstanding, hard-working and committed colleagues with whom I've worked over many years in higher education. I've been privileged to work at universities that champion widening participation, ensuring that everybody who has the ability to succeed, whatever their background, can benefit from higher education."
Pub hosts MPs chat about deliveries in a war zone. Members of the public and volunteers of the Winchester Liberal Democrats were invited to the Roebuck Inn for an informal talk by Danny Chambers, MP for Winchester, about his recent trip delivering ambulances and medical equipment to Ukraine. Held on May the 30th, this was followed by a question and answer session. Despite the event being arranged at a short notice, there was a great turnout of around 40 people who came to hear him describe his experience travelling into the war zone. He explained, "During my aid trip to Ukraine, I learned just how resilient the people there have been throughout this war. I believe it is essential that we continue to show unequivocal political and practical support for Ukraine as they fight for all of Europe on the front lines, defend our values and sovereignty." Dr. Chambers also thanked the Roebuck Inn for hosting the event and everyone who came along to talk. Sarah Newbeckers-Jones, chef proprietor at the Roebuck Inn, said, "We were delighted to welcome a gathering of Liberal Democrat members and supporters at the Roebuck Inn last week."
Rifleman's Museum Wellbeing Support. A museum is offering new model-making sessions to support health and happiness. The Rifleman's Museum, one of Winchester's six military museums, has launched free sessions for the armed forces and emergency services communities, taking place on the third Monday of each month. The sessions are open to serving personnel, veterans, and current or former members of the emergency services, and are designed to offer a supportive, creative space through hands-on model making. Christine Pullen, curator at the Rifleman's Museum, said, "This is about more than just building models. It's about building confidence, friendship, mental well-being, and most importantly, community." "We're delighted to host these sessions at the museum and look forward to seeing them grow." The first session took place in May, and they're run in partnership with Models for Heroes, a national charity that uses model making to support the mental health of the armed forces and emergency services communities. All materials, kits and equipment are provided free of charge. The sessions are open to both beginners and experienced model makers, offering a relaxed environment to connect with others. Research shows that creative hobbies like model making can boost happiness, improve fine motor skills, and reduce social isolation. The Rifleman's Museum is open Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. with last entry at 3:30 p.m. Entry costs £6.50 for adults and £5.50 for concessions, and it's free for children under 16 and serving military personnel.
CEO taking on grueling challenge for hospice funds. A CEO is taking on a grueling challenge to help raise funds for a children's hospice. Scott Stevens, CEO of Forth, is aiming to raise £5,000 for Naomi House and Jack Space as part of the charity's new CEO fundraiser, The Big Five. The campaign tasks five CEOs with separate challenges to collectively raise £25,000 for the hospice, which supports children, young adults and families across central southern England. Mr. Stevens said, "Naomi House and Jack Space have held a special place in my heart for many years. I've seen the incredible impact they have on the lives of the children and families they support. This challenge is an opportunity to give back, raise awareness, and to push myself in support of those facing far greater trials, and to help ensure the charity can continue the invaluable work it does. The funds raised through the Big Five could cover up to 5 months of care from a specialist nurse at the hospice. Mr. Stevens follows Brian Harper, CEO of GRP Solutions, who launched the series in December with a 3,000-mile race across the world style challenge. Mr. Harper travelled from Portsmouth to Hammersfest in 5 days, using only public transport and the kindness of strangers. Mr. Stevens' upcoming challenge will take place at sea off the south coast. Naomi House and Jack's Place has described it as a test of endurance, resilience, and sheer determination.
A strong bond through friends group. Two women have shared how they found friendship and purpose through a welcoming community group. Celia and Judy first met in August 2022, bonded by their mutual interest in the Friends of Winchester Cathedral. Celia, who had just moved to Winchester after decades in Hertfordshire, sponsored the cathedral's organ restoration prior to her move. She was invited to a friend's excursion to Durham and found herself sitting next to Judy. The pair clicked instantly, sharing stories about music, family, and their recent life changes. Celia was drawn to Winchester due to its community spirit, walkable streets, and the reassuring presence of the cathedral. Meanwhile, Judy and her husband had downsized and relocated to Winchester to be closer to their children. She had been gifted a year's subscription to the Friends of Winchester Cathedral, which she described as one of the best presents. Their shared interests and various activities have cemented a strong bond, and there's a lovely picture of the two ladies smiling outside the west door of Winchester Cathedral, obviously enjoying a very close bond.
Documentary set for release for English Wine Week. An award-winning Hampshire vineyard is marking English Wine Week 2025 with the release of a documentary. Candover Brook, known for its commitment to regenerative viticulture, has unveiled A Year in the Life of a Vineyard, a short film capturing a full year on the estate. The documentary, directed by British filmmaker Jess Bassett, follows the team through the seasons and highlights its dedication to soil health, biodiversity, and sustainable winemaking. Mark Sainsbury, co-owner of Candover Brook, said, "Working with Jess was complete joy and we are delighted with the outcome. It's a proud feeling to see our hard work and passion captured in such a beautiful film. We hope that our respect for the land and our community connects us and our award-winning wines to a new audience." The vineyard spans just 5 hectares and focuses on producing English sparkling wine, working in harmony with nature. The documentary offers viewers a chance to see the day-to-day realities of regenerative farming and the impact it has on the surrounding environment, both above and below ground. Screenings are taking place at selected venues that share Candover Brook's values of craft, care, and conscious living. Later this year, the film will be made available to the public on the vineyard's newly launched YouTube channel.
5,000-kilometre rally through Africa in a London taxi. A Winchester business owner and his wife are preparing for the adventure of a lifetime. Ed and Susie Clark will drive nearly 5,000 kilometres through Africa in a 30-year-old London taxi as part of the Africa Rally, raising money for charities close to their hearts. The journey begins on Saturday, July the 5th in South Africa and will take them to Kenya over 3 weeks. Ed, who runs Clark Saunders Acoustics in Winchester, said, "Susie is the driving force. She's a real petrolhead, and her company insists that every 5 years, partners take an additional period of leave time out, which is an extra month's holiday to avoid burning out. We wanted to create memories and give back. The Africa Rally is what Susie came up with as a way to spend that time. Indulging in a passion, the rally but also the idea of combining it with some fundraising for causes that are really close to us. The couple, who divide their time between London and Hampshire, will use the journey to raise funds for three charities: Scope, Farm Africa, and Land Aid. Scope has a special meaning for the Clarks, having supported Ed's daughter Lara, who was born with cerebral palsy. Their taxi, affectionately named Bernard, was prepared with the help of mechanic Kevin from the exclusive motor company, who Ed met by chance at a racetrack. They're taking on the rally under the team name Hectic. Ed said, "We were complete novices in the motorsport industry when we started. We didn't really know what we were doing, so everything we did was a bit hectic, hence the name. It's also something South Africans use to describe anything that's really good and a bit crazy, so it chimes well." More than 30 teams will take part in the rally, each following their own route. Ed said, "We'll be driving for about 4 hours every day, and I'm going to make sure we're within range of one of those campsites or rest points every day, so that we're not going to be driving at night. We've put a tent on the roof of the taxi, which is amazing. It folds out with a ladder going up to it. It's like pitching a tent in 10 seconds. We're just hoping that the local lions haven't worked out how to climb ladders." And there's a lovely picture of the old taxi with its rack on the roof ready for the tent. And the couple wearing smiles and purple T-shirts with Scope on the front for their charity.
Charity hits the heights. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance has marked a major milestone. The charity has responded to its 14,000th helicopter mission since its first flight in 2017. When combined with emergency response vehicle call-outs, the service has attended more than 21,000 emergencies in total. Nick Gray, paramedic clinical lead with Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, said, "Our sincere thanks to everyone who supports this charity. Your kindness and passion ensures my colleagues and I are ready to provide emergency critical care to those who need it. Many of our patients and their friends and families are only together now because of the exceptional generosity of the people who have supported us since our first flight in 2007. The 14,000th helicopter flight took place on Tuesday, June the 10th, when the crew was dispatched to an incident in Milford-on-Sea. The helicopter launched from Queen Alexandra Hospital in Portsmouth following an earlier call-out. At the scene, the team stabilised the patient, who was then taken to hospital by road. The doctor-paramedic crew continued to deliver critical care en route, working alongside colleagues from South Central Ambulance Service. Among those that helped by the air ambulance is Matt Paul, 47, who was airlifted to hospital after a motorcycle crash on the A339 north of Basingstoke in 2022.
Well, that concludes the extracts for this week. So thank you to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, and to the copying and memory stick preparation teams. And of course, thanks to our reader, Margaret.
Goodbye.
And from me, Keith Vinson, goodbye, and do have an enjoyable week. And when you finish with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. Thank you.